Author Stephen McDowell is the president and co-founder of the Providence Foundation, and he often leads tours on our nation's Christian roots, including in the D.C. area. I'm Jerry Newcomb, executive director of Providence Forum, a division of Coral Ridge Ministries, and today we welcome back author and Christian tour director Stephen McDowell, co-founder of Providence Foundation. Now, Stephen McDowell has produced and he hosts a new film, which is called Educated for Liberty. We've discussed this film in a previous conversation. We'll link to that. But in the meantime, we want to talk with him today about homeschooling in early America. It is great to have you back on, Stephen. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be with you, as always, Jerry.
So how widespread was homeschooling? I'll tell you what, let me start this way. Of our early presidents, do you know of any that were homeschooled? Tell us about that, the presidents and homeschooling, early presidents and homeschooling.
Well, in general, you know, when you look at the signers of the Declaration of Independence, members of the Constitutional Convention, one-third of them really had no formal schooling at all, including our first president, George Washington. They were taught at home because they had the founders of America, the parents, the churches. They had the concept that it's the right responsibility of parents to govern the education of their children. And so I like to point out to people who think, well, you know, if you homeschool your child, they might not have a good social upbringing. Well, I said, well, George Washington was a pretty good citizen, and he was homeschooled. He was taught at home. And so a vast majority, or a large portion, I should say, of our founding fathers were homeschooled. And some of those who had formal schooling, it was not that much formal schooling, maybe a school here and there, like Thomas Jefferson, our third president, was typical of many at the time, that he was taught at home for the first number of years. Then his parents began to provide tutors for him that supplemented the education he received at home. This is also true of James Madison, our fourth president of the United States. And that those tutors were, well, in the case of Madison and Jefferson, they were pastors, they were ministers, and they were primarily the tutors in early America because they were the most educated people in the community. And not only that, like with Noah Webster, who had the same kind of education, taught at home, had some supplemental education by tutors who were ministers, that if you were going to enter college, you had to know Greek and Latin. So Noah Webster, for example, was taught Greek and Latin by his pastor who tutored him.
Let me interrupt you real fast. The reason you would know Greek is you're talking about for the be able to read the Greek New Testament. I mean, that's why generally, right?
Yeah, that's exactly why. They wanted to be able to read the scripture in its original language, because the focal point of education in early America was to know truth, and they all recognized that truth emanated from the Creator and is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And the early rules of the colleges speak to that precisely. And so, you know, education in early America was very similar to education in Israel, that it was centered in the home, and then that home centered education at times was supplemented by tutors who were primary in the old Israel's case. They were the Levites. They were the educators. In early America, it was mostly the ministers who were these tutors. And it was these tutors who conducted more formal schools, but the formal schools were not like modern schools by any means, that they, like with Jefferson and Madison, for example, their parents were, or someone like some parent would invite a minister, a tutor, to come and meet in the home, someone's home, so that students in the nearby community could come and be educated. These were the first schools or the first academies. They even were centered in people's homes as well. And so the model of education that early America had was like the model of education that Israel had, and way different than what we have today. And what's important, it's the model, the philosophy, the content, they were all biblical. And it was this type of education that produced the founders of America, probably the most knowledgeable, scholarly people that you've had at any one time in any nation, in any setting. And these are the ones who gave us our Declaration of Independence and gave us the United States Constitution because of this deeply biblical education. And one whole kind of central part of the film that we produced, Educated for Liberty, was to point out that it was biblical education. It had a biblical philosophy, biblical methodology, biblical content, and biblical model. It was this education that gave birth to the most free and prosperous nation the world has ever seen. And if today, if we hope to restore our nation to the point that the same vision the founders had and to continue to advance in the future, we need to restore biblical education to the nation. And so our film helps to give a vision of for this. Biblical education produced our great liberty and prosperity. Biblical education is the only way to get back to it. Therefore, let's assume that responsibility first as Christian parents. And this will lead us into the future to advance, continue to advance and prosper.
All right. Now, I want to focus primarily in this discussion. We've already started this on the founding era. But if I could just jump ahead in one example, and that is Abraham Lincoln. What do you know about his early education? When you read his writings and you read his speeches, you could tell this man was very, very well educated. He also was very familiar with the Bible. His quotes just drip with biblical references. Chiseled in stone at the Lincoln Memorial, for example, is the second inaugural address. And it has three Bible verses in it. And even the Gettysburg Address, while not quoting the Bible directly, it has biblical-type phraseology. Even the phrase, 67 years ago, Dr. Daniel Dreisbach of American University points out, well, that's because the Bible in Psalm 90 refers to score, meaning 20 years. And, you know, Lincoln picked up that and other kinds of biblical-type phraseology. What do you know about Lincoln's education? Was he taught at home?
Yeah, well, just like the founder who gave us the Declaration and Constitution, Lincoln had a biblical education. As we all know, he grew up in a log cabin in Kentucky, born in 1809. His early education was centered in the home, both by his mother and father. Then his mother died, and his stepmother continued this biblical education as well. And so he did have some formal schooling and then went on and studied law. But his early education for many, many years was centered in the home. And certainly the Bible was the central text, like it was for all Americans, because he only really had like four books begin early on in his home, and he read them over and over, and they were revealed in his speeches time and time again. You point out the Bible in many of his speeches. The Bible certainly was found in every home in America, as Alexis de Tocqueville and others observed as they traveled throughout and looked what was producing this nation of liberty. So he had the Bible. He had Aesop's Fables. You see that in some of his speeches as well. He had Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, that great Christian classic that was read by so many early Americans. And he had a life of George Washington as well. Washington was his hero that he sought to emulate. Those four books were basically his early textbooks, and he thoroughly knew them. And they come up time and time again in his actions and in his speeches as he continued on in his mission in life. So,
and who was the author of the book about George Washington? Mason Weems? I'm just curious about that. Because
about what was that?
The book about George Washington that was one of the four books that Abraham Lincoln had. Yeah, was that by Mason Weems, the pastor Mason Weems or Parson Weems?
If I recollect correctly, I think it might have been Marshall's, Chief Justice Marshall's writings on Washington, though he would have been familiar with Parson Weems' book as well. Parson Weems wrote, it might have been the very first biography of George Washington. In it, it contains the famous story of chopping down the cherry tree and other things. And Weems was actually a pastor and knew Washington.
Yeah, but, you know, by the way, if I could just say something real fast, Parson Weems unfortunately has suffered a lot in terms of his reputation by some of the scholars, and yet Peter Lubeck and I, in the book George Washington Sacred Fire, which shattered some of the modern myths about George Washington, there's actually a chapter in there that Dr. Lubeck put together showing that, hey, Mason Weems, or, you know, Parson Weems was a lot closer to the truth than people realize. But we'll leave that for another day. So let's go back to our top story here, really, is that the founding fathers, the people that helped produce this nation, they were weaned on the Holy Bible. The Bible was their key textbook in one way or another, correct?
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, it's interesting that one of the original rules of Harvard College, of course, a number of our founding fathers went to Harvard College, says, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom is the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. The reason they started Harvard and Yale and Brown and Rutgers and Dartmouth and on, all these early colleges, were for this same type of reason. We need to know truth. Truth is rooted in Jesus Christ. The Bible is the source of communicating what that truth is. And we need, and another reason at Harvard, they said, is we need pastors who know the Bible, who know how to reason from the Bible to all of life. Because if we have an ignorant clergy who are unable to do that, then we will not be able to survive as a free nation. So the Bible was the central text. This is very easy to show. Everyone had a knowledge of the Bible. I would argue probably your average farmer had way more knowledge of biblical truth than most pastors do today, especially being able to reason to civil and public affairs, because they understood the Bible speaks to all of life. It's the tool by which we disciple the nation, and they certainly did that. And if you look at the major textbooks that were used by the founding fathers, they were thoroughly biblical as well. The New England Primer, first published in 1690, for the next 100 years, it was the primary textbook, sold perhaps 5 million copies. All the founding fathers, or most all of them, would have used the New England Primer. And it has a catechism, a biblical catechism in it, the Ten Commandments. It even teaches the alphabet with a biblical rhyme, like A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven defined, the Bible mine. C, Christ crucified for sinners died, and on. So even when our founding fathers learned their alphabet, they were taught it in a biblical, with biblical truth attached to it. So the primary textbooks were thoroughly biblical, and that certainly continued on in the 19th century as well.
Okay, the name of your website is educatedforliberty.com in reference to the film. Otherwise, it's Provident Foundation, providencefoundation.org. We have about 30 seconds left. What would you like to say in conclusion about homeschooling in early America?
Well, again, it was a biblical philosophy, methodology, a curriculum, content, and model that produced the most free and flourishing nation the world has ever seen. And America's future depends upon our child's education. So the way that we're educating children today is going to determine where our nation goes in the future. This is why it's essential that we reclaim, as parents and as Christian parents and pastor and churches that influence parents, it's essential that we reclaim governing the education of our children, because the whole future of our nation depends upon it.
All right, Stephen McDowell, thanks so much. All the best.